And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since thou in triumph leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me by his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Good singing this morning. Take that hymnal, 409. Let's all stand together. We'll sing several of these stanzas. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep us into the day. Let's sing it together, 409.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. This is known not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
We'll close our music together this morning with a chorus. The chorus is, God is so good. There's the text. We'll sing it together.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Thank you this morning for singing. Please be seated.
Jesus, guide me.
Jesus, guide me.
Keep my spirit stayed at shore. When the midnight meets the morning, let me love you.
Amen, and praise the Lord for that. Well, let me ask you the question again today. Do you ever have a problem you cannot solve? So what do you do in your life when you have a problem that you cannot solve? Really, when you have a problem you cannot solve, there's a better question to ask. The better question to ask is this: what is God doing when I face a problem I cannot solve? We're in a series entitled Daring to Follow God's Call. It's on the life of the prophet Elisha. And Elisha was a prophet who dared to leave his established, comfortable life to follow God's call. He dared to follow the leading prophet of his generation in spite of the hardship it would necessitate. He dared to become the voice for God and righteousness in a nation in moral and spiritual decline. He dared to be different when compromised religion was the order of the day. He dared to impact his generation and the next. He dared to ask God for more power. And we have discovered that learning from his life is not for those who are satisfied with the status quo or with the convenience or with ease. No. Learning from his life is best for those who will dare to follow God's call. So my challenge to you is be bold and dare to follow God's call. So today, would you take your Bible and turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, and you want to go to chapter 2 of the book of 2 Kings. We're going to read about a problem that some people had that they could not solve, and what God was doing in the problem that they could not solve. Would you please stand with me as we read the scriptures? And we will read today. I will read aloud. You won't have to read. Follow along. You will follow along. You don't have to read aloud. But we're going to begin reading in verse 19 of 2 Kings chapter 2. And I should have given you a warning. I'm sorry about that. So we're popping up little by little. We'll begin reading in verse 19, and we'll read the entire account that takes us through just a few verses to verse 22. So would you please, unless you are physically unable, stand for the reading of the word today. Thank you. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren." And he said, "Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein," and they brought it to him. When he came forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land." So the waters were healed unto this day according to the word of Elisha, which he spake. So today, let's talk about what may seem unusual. But let's talk about the blessing of the problem you cannot solve. Let's pray, shall we? Well, Lord, you do bring into our lives problems we cannot solve. And as we learn about people in a place far away who receive blessing in the problem they could not solve, in the problems that we have before us that we cannot solve, we pray that from them you would bring blessing. And where we are today, we pray that you would help us to see what we cannot see by faith, that you would reveal to us ourselves and reveal to us what you are doing, and give us faith, Lord God, to believe you. And I'm asking that for the men and the women and the young people in this congregation, that you would give us faith to embrace the problems that we cannot solve, believing that from them you will bring glory to yourself and blessing. And so, God, we pray you would do this. This is a supernatural work we desire, and I yield to the Holy Spirit as the preacher and as a hearer on behalf of these friends who are also hearers of the word today as it's preached. And so we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So let's talk about the reality of the problem you cannot solve. Because here's the reality. The reality is that you and the people around you will have problems that you cannot solve. That's just the reality of life. How many of you wish you could solve every problem that's before you? Don't you wish you could? But the reality is you can't. Now, the people we just read about in these few verses had a problem that they could not solve. What was the problem that the people of Jericho could not solve? Well, Jericho had a great situation. In fact, when you read verse 19, you'll notice the men of the city said unto Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant." If you were a real estate agent and you were writing up an ad for Jericho, you would be say, "Location, location, location. What a great location. Jerusalem's not too far away. The Jordan River's not too far away. You're in a place that can be a little desolate, but the hills are still beautiful, somewhat rugged, but it's just a beautiful place. And what a great place to live." But there was one problem that they could not solve. Did you see what it was? The one problem they could not solve, read verse 19 again. "Oh, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren." We've got a water problem. Bad water. A great place to live, if you don't mind bad water. That's a problem they couldn't solve. So what happened to their water supply? Nobody really knows. It's unknown. All we know is that it was bad water that they couldn't drink. It caused the ground to where it couldn't grow food. The spring of Jericho was, of course, for the city. But the spring of Jericho did so much more. It was also the source of water for the region, what is called the plain of Jericho. And this spring fed the livestock and the agriculture and the people of that entire region. So for the people of Jericho, this was a problem they could not solve. Let me ask about you. What is the problem that you cannot solve? Is it the weight of sin and guilt that you bear and the spiritual bondage you find yourself in, which you find yourself? Is it circumstantial? Is the problem that you cannot solve related to family, related to your vocation? Is it related to, is it relational? It may be physical, it may be a spiritual issue, but what is the problem that you cannot solve? What is the problem that you're thinking about right now? And you're saying, hey, that's the problem that I cannot solve. What is it that you have in your mind? Did you ever feel like you were just unusual? I'm the only one that, no. Because everybody in our congregation today probably has something on their mind. It's a problem I can't solve. So we've talked about the reality of the problem that you cannot solve. So let's talk then about your response to the problem you cannot solve. Yes, the reality of the problem that I cannot solve, but your response to the problem that you cannot solve. In the middle of their problem they couldn't solve, who was in their city? Well, Elisha the prophet was in their city. Do you remember the story that brought them to this point? Elisha had served Elijah for 10 years. He was the prophet in training. And just a few days prior to this, Elijah and Elisha walked together, and God came from heaven with a fiery chariot and horses and scooped up Elijah and took him into heaven. And Elisha was left there. He only had the mantle that fell off of Elijah. And now Elijah then picks up the mantle and he crosses back over the Jordan and smites the Jordan River and it opens up and he walks on dry ground. And do you remember what happened? There were these 50 prophets. They evidently were living in Jericho who were watching all of this, and they ran to Elisha and they said, Elisha, what if God drops Elijah somewhere in a valley or in a mountain? What if God drops him? We need to send some people out. And so they sent 50 men. And Elijah says, oh, come on. No, it's not going to happen. No, we need to go. Okay, go ahead. I'll be over in Jericho when you get back. And 3 days later, they report back. Well, God didn't drop him. We've looked high and low. We couldn't find him anywhere. But the people of Jericho said, hey, look who's here. Elisha, the prophet of God. And it brings us to the three questions that you need to ask when you come to a problem you cannot solve. Because when these people asked Elisha the prophet about the problem they could not solve, we're going to learn about the questions that you need to ask and I need to ask when I have a problem I cannot solve. Here's the first question. If you're writing your notes, you want to jot these down as well. The first question is this: where do you turn? When you're at a problem that you cannot solve, where do you turn? For the people of Jericho, where did they turn? Hey, God's prophet is here. Elisha is here, the lead prophet, the one that's taking over for the man of God, Elijah. And he can give us God's help and God's instructions. If the Lord doesn't help us, we're in trouble. And so they turn to the Lord through his prophet, Elijah. Now, let me stop for a minute and think about and ask you, where do you turn when you're in a problem you cannot solve? Do you turn to some kind of a substance to help you get by? Do you turn to a person thinking that all my answers, if I just have that person, I'll have all the problems solved? Do you turn to something that gives you temporary ease? It may give you an escape from the reality of what is there, and maybe you go, you're binge watching. Or maybe you're escaping to a video game, or maybe you're escaping to something else, or some people escape to shopping. If I can just spend money, I feel good. Until the bill comes, then you don't feel so good, right? You see, there are all kinds of things, people, where they turn when they're in a problem they can't solve, and they're looking for relief, and they're looking for something to ease up, and they're looking for answers. And whatever device they turn to, let me ask you this, where do you turn? Or do you turn to the Lord God? Do you say, God, I'm in a situation that I don't have an answer. What does your word tell me? God, would you help? Would you show me? Tell me about God. Would you remind me what your character is like and who you are? Because I need to trust you because I can't solve my problem and I need to leave it with you. So God, can I find out and would you help me to seek you and who you are? Dear God, would you please help me to see maybe what you could be doing in the problem I can't solve and look to you in faith. How could you use this in my life, God? Right now, I don't see where this is going to work. But Lord, how are you using this problem I cannot solve in my life even now? You see, one of the reasons for problems you cannot solve is so you turn to the Lord. And this is something that people who dare to follow God's call, whenever they come to problems they cannot solve, they always turn to the Lord. And even when they look all around, finally they come to the end of themselves and they'll go back to the Lord. Because following God's call is a life of faith. And when you run into problems you cannot solve, oh, how many of you know what I'm talking about when it is a test of your faith? Whew. Yeah. So the first question you ask yourself is, where do I turn? And it brings us to the second question, because the people of Jericho go to the prophet Elijah. And what does he say to them in verse 20? And he said, bring me a new cruse. That is a new jar. And put salt therein. And here's the second question. Who do you listen to? The first question, where do I turn? The second question is, who do you listen to? You see, in problems you cannot solve, there are all kinds of voices. There are people around you, your own thoughts in your own head. And there are all kinds of voices with all kinds of advice and with all the places and people to whom you can turn. At times, you can be overwhelmed with voices that are calling. But of all the things you hear, who do you listen to? In this passage of Scripture, when these people came to a problem they could not solve, God made himself clear when they needed it. And you know God will do that for you. And I think everybody that has thinks of times when you have problems you cannot solve, everybody knows what it is to say, God, I just don't know. What would you make it clear? And when you need to know, God will be faithful and true to make clear what you need to know when you need to know it, as he did for the people there in Jericho, and as he will do for you. If you are truly seeking him, following his call, and desiring more than anything else to do whatever God wants, God will be clear. Let me read to you what the prophet Jeremiah said about this very subject. Jeremiah, if I can find it in my Bible, and I marked it for that reason. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, Ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you. Ye shall, verse 13, shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. And it leaves me with the question, who do you listen to? I'm not asking who you hear. I'm asking who do you listen to? You see, God is speaking and God is using the problem you cannot solve. Will you listen to His voice? So the first question to ask, or I'm asking when I'm in a problem I cannot solve, where do I turn to? The next question is, who do I listen to? And then it brings us to a third question. And it's another question that you and I should ask whenever we're in a problem we cannot solve. And it is this, what do you do with God's instructions? What do you do with God's instructions? So the Elijah says, hey, would you get me a cruse with salt in it? I guess we could put it this way. Elijah says, pass the salt. Now, what do the people of Jericho do when Elijah says, pass the salt? Well, look at your Bible. 2 Kings chapter 2. Look at verse 20 again. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 20. And he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. When God said, pass the salt, the people of Jericho said, all right, we'll pass the salt. See, for you to dare to follow God's call, God's going to bring you to problems you cannot solve. And God is going to make His instruction to you very clear. This is the next step for you. This is what I want for you. This is how I'm guiding you in your life. He'll make it very clear. And you're going to ask yourself this question. God, would you pass the salt? Show me what you want me to do. And then when you show me, I will pass the salt. See, now what happens is that God tells you, this is what I want for you. And then what we often say is, well, Lord, when you show me what you want me to do, then I'll decide whether I'm going to do it or not. And if I think that I want to pass the salt, I'll pass the salt. But if I don't want to pass the salt, I'm not going to pass the salt. And if you dare to follow God's call, when God says pass the salt, you say, all right, Lord, I'll pass the salt. Now, if you're not going to follow God's call, this is what makes the difference between you who do and you who don't. Because the people who do dare to follow God's call, when God says pass the salt, whatever that means, they say, okay, Lord, that's what I'll do. But Lord, why would I need to pass the salt? No, that's not the point. Would you just pass the salt? Well, Lord, I don't see what that's going to do. Just pass the salt. Well, Lord, I think that there would be something better. How about baking soda? No, pass the salt. Well, Lord, hold on a second. As long as you're arguing with God about it, don't you worry about daring to follow God's call. You'll never do it. Daring to follow God's calls for people who, when God says, pass the salt, this is what I want for you. This is the transformation. This is the solution I have for you. This is what I am speaking to you about. Just do it. Daring to follow God's call, people who dare to follow God's call, is for people who are willing, when God says, pass the salt, God, I will pass the salt. And for you in your life, do you realize that God is even maybe speaking to you about this today? And God says, pass the salt. And you've been arguing with God for the longest time about why you shouldn't pass the salt. Why is it that He's telling you, you need to make this important in your life. Some things need to change in this, in your life, in this area. You need to come to Christ. Whatever it is, God has spoken to you and He's dealing with you. And He says, pass the salt. And then you wonder, well, Lord, why is it that I'm not finding the boldness and the power of following your call? It's because when God said, pass the salt, you don't pass the salt. Pass the salt. You say to the Lord, okay, Lord, here's the salt. This is the power of humility. When you say, okay, Lord, I will pass the salt. And when you pass the salt and you're willing to say, God, I will do whatever you say, then what happens is God's grace, that is his enabling power that you and I don't have, the opportunity and the power that I don't have, God's grace begins to work in my life. I may or may not, in the moment, find the solution immediately to the problem that I cannot solve. But God doesn't wait until the problem's solved to give his grace. He gives his power now. You see, God is dealing with you. And the moment you come to Christ and say, yes, I need him. And you see yourself and your sin and the judgments to come. And that Christ is the only way. And the moment you come to Christ, he saves by his grace. And the moment you turn to the Lord as you walk with him now in this journey, every step, he gives grace. The incredible power of humility to say, Lord, I'll pass the salt. So we've talked about the reality of the problem that you cannot solve. We've talked about your response to the problem you cannot solve. Now let's talk about the Lord's response to the problem you cannot solve. So we read about it in verse 21 and then verse 22 of the passage to which we've turned, 2 Kings chapter 2. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha the prophet. Elisha, which he spake. Now we celebrate the miracle and the miraculous work of God, and we cheer with the people of Jericho. We say, that's awesome. We are so happy for you. How wonderful. God did this amazing miracle for you. Look what God did for you, and we should. But I want you to know that God was doing so much more than making salt water fresh water. Oh, God was doing so much more. So you ask yourself, what was God doing? Well, let me tell you what God was doing in the life of the prophet Elisha. See, for Elisha, what God was doing was he confirmed as a witness his place of authority as a prophet. Remember, it was just a few days before this that Elijah was left, and now he was the prophet with the mantle. He had his first miracle whenever he smote the Jordan River with the mantle and he walks through on dry land. This is his second miracle, again, affirming that this is the prophet of God. Remember, he asked God for power. An affirmation that God's power was with Elijah, confirming the power of God on his life and ministry. So was his desire. And all of this took place because the people of Jericho had a problem they could not solve. See, that's what God was doing in the life of the prophet Elisha, so much bigger than changing salt water to fresh water. What was God doing in the lives of the people of Jericho? Well, the most obvious and the most exciting and immediate was the water problem was solved. And this would mean for them their health. It would mean for them their livelihood. It would mean that their prosperity, even their survival, was taken care of. They could now raise their crops and raise their livestock. But there was a greater work that God was doing, because on this day, when they came to a problem they could not solve and they sought the Lord, the greater work that they experienced was the reality that God Almighty worked in their midst. They were living in this northern kingdom. Bad leadership, generation after generation. Elijah the prophet wondered if everybody had bowed the knee to Baal. Am I the only one left? And there were others who stood, even in the midst of a land that was in moral and spiritual decline with poor leadership. And yet, in a place that seemed to be forsaken from God, they experienced the supernatural working of God in their midst. And so the prophet was very clear about it. Look at your Bible in verse 21. Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. This was a work that God did. And even Elisha said, it's not about me. This is what God is doing. You are experiencing God. Now you have come to a point in your life where you have a problem you cannot solve. You're at a place where God is speaking to you and God can manifest Himself to you. Now, as long as you're doing it on your own, you don't need God to manifest Himself to you. But when you come to a problem you can't solve, now you are at a place where God can begin to manifest Himself to you, reveal Himself and His ways and His purposes and all that He's doing. May or may not mean that your problem will be solved in the way you want it solved or when you want it solved, but it does mean that along the way, God is manifesting Himself. But there's something else that God was doing. He was doing something in the life of Elisha. He was doing something in the life of the people of Jericho. But on this day, God was doing something that was far bigger than what any of the people on that day could see. Far more than they could ever imagine. Because on that day, God did something that impacted future generations. Now, do you see the promise that God gives? In verse 21... there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. If you were to go to Israel, the land of Israel today, you could go to this very site. The site of the ancient city, the ruins of the ancient city of Jericho. It's called Tel Es Sultan. It's about, 2 kilometers. What is 2 kilometers? A little over a mile, mile and a quarter maybe, 1.2 some odd mile, away from the modern city of Jericho. But you can go to that site. And when you go to Jericho, you can see a thing, the fountain or the spring of Elisha. It's a site that's set up as somewhat of a tourist site. But you can go to the ancient remains, and there you will find a spring that comes up out of the ground. You will find a fairly sizable building that is built over top of the head of that spring, and you will go, and you could go in there today. You can visit it. You can go online and Google the site, and you can see it online. You can go into that house, and you can see where there are pumps that take the water that is pumped, and it even today is the water supply for the modern city of Jericho. Do you know what they call this fountain, this spring? They call it the spring of Elisha. And now, around 3,000 years later, just as God promised, there's still water flowing, fresh, clear, clean, bringing blessing to all. But on this day, the people saw the miraculous hand of God in the problem they cannot solve. But what they could not understand is that generations and generations to follow would receive the blessing, because they sought the Lord when they came to a problem they could not solve. And I'm telling you that when God is working, even in the problem you cannot solve, that there will be a bigger impact that you cannot see right now, but if you will seek the Lord and dare to follow God's call, oh, what God could do. And it brings us finally to your perspective of the problem you cannot solve. Is the problem you cannot solve a blessing or a cursing? A blessing or a cursing? If you will respond to the Lord, that problem you cannot solve will become for you a blessing. And so do you know what I say? I'd say, Lord, would you pass the salt? Whatever you want, I'll do it. Because I believe that God, in the problem I cannot solve, you can bring blessing out of cursing. Would you stand with me, please? Our heads are bowed. And we're going to pray here in just a moment. But before I do pray, I wonder about you and the problem you cannot solve. What about you? Are you at a point where